The flat. I once made my sister cry, Dallas said as he tossed his paper sack of merchandise into the back of the Jeep, thumping his head on the door frame as he fell onto the seat. He rubbed the knot on his head and looked at Lou. Lou's thumbs dashed over the keyboard of his cell phone. The engine ran, the heater blew hot air. Lou? Just a minute, Lou responded. That shop owner left me puzzled. I don't think we did anything to warrant tears, did you? Tears? She's crying? Yes. Women get like that around the holidays. Weepy, Lou said, still texting. Snowflakes the size of a child's fist fell silently onto the windshield. Lou switched on one sweep of the wiper and then turned it off. Dallas's heart ached as he glanced at the shop window. The image of the woman weeping behind her till did not sit well with him. He would never intentionally cause someone that much pain. I wonder if there's something else wrong. You know, like money. This place seems economically challenged. Or empty. Like a ghost town. It's depressing, Dallas pondered. Lewis pushed send and waited. We should get back to the lodge. It's starting to snow, Dallas urged. We have a flat, Lou stated. What? We have a flat tire. Well, let's get it fixed. Dallas unbuckled a seatbelt. Where? Lou held up the search he did on his phone. There's no tire repair shops in Merrittville. Closest one is in Louisville, an hour away. He blinked when he looked up at the snow. Maybe 2 hours away. I told you we should have fixed the spare when we had the chance, Dallas complained. Surely there's a gas station here. Yes, it's that way, Lou pointed into the blizzard that now blanketed them. God, Dallas whispered. God may hear you, but I don't think he fixes flats. Lewis threw open the door and stepped outside. Already the snow had collected in a sleek cushion at his feet and clung to his coat within seconds. He stomped to the back of the vehicle and pulled out the jack. Lou grabbed the lug wrench, and the two of them took turns loosening lug nuts and removing the tire. No headlights busied the town. Not a single soul had even stepped outside, much less started a vehicle. All of Merrittville seemed to have fallen asleep. Christmas lights sparkled over the dim city, in shop windows and on trees and flower containers along the street. Though it was still early in the day, the clouds shut out sunlight. Dallas felt as if he had stepped into some kind of seasonal TV advertisement. It's quite moving, actually, he said. What, the tire? The town. You don't see places like this in Southern California. Snow at the ski lodge, yes, but that's a totally different atmosphere. Listen to how quiet it is. I feel I'm in a whisper. Lou shook his head. Your poetic side has always baffled me. It's friggin' winter. You've got a flat tire, and we're 20 miles from a hot shower and a warm bed, and you're creating holiday jingles. It's Christmas, Lou. Can't help feeling melancholy at Christmas. It's winter. Dallas shrugged and laughed. We're not going to freeze to death, man. We've got the warmest jackets in the country. We might not freeze to death, but we might have to sleep in the Jeep if we don't get a tire on this baby and get up the mountain. Lou tossed the jack and lug wrench into the back of the Jeep and slapped the door shut. You think the lady in the shop would give us a ride? You dare ask? Lou huffed a laugh as he rolled the tire into the street. Dallas looked into the shop window again. It might be daring to ask her a favor, but he'd like to talk to her, comfort her or something. I'd rather take my chances with her than walk in a blizzard. The worst she can do is say no. Or give you the dragon eye. Lou rested the tire against the Jeep and threw up his arms and said, It's your move. Dallas returned to the cozy home gift shop, stomped his boots on the welcome rug and shut the door. Fire crackled in the pot-belly stove where the shopkeeper sat in a chair.